Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome back to the weekly radio broadcast from Independence Baptist Church. Now, today, we're going to be moving further into our series on Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And as a reminder, last week we finished up this idea of not swearing, and this week we're going to be moving into the topic of an eye for an eye. But it may not be the way you think it will be, so I'd encourage you to listen closely as Pastor Reynolds picks up in Matthew chapter 5, verse 38.
In Matthew 5, verse 38 through verse 42, Jesus Christ is preaching the Sermon on the Mount. When he says this, that's Matthew 5, verse 38 through verse 42, ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. You see, the Pharisees believed that the law was the final say, and they quoted the law of Leviticus 24, verse 19 and 20, which states, and if a man cause a blemish in his neighbor, as he hath done, so shall it be done to him. Breach for breach, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, as he hath caused a blemish in a man, so shall it be done to him again. Well, Jesus Christ is preaching the Sermon on the Mount, and he gives a different perspective of this law. Let's say a person, in a fit of rage, put out the eye of another person, or knocked out his tooth. The case was then brought before a judge, and the judge had the right, according to the law of God, to rule that the one who had caused the damage be damaged himself. Let's say you were the person damaged. What would you do? Would you put out the eye or the tooth of the person who injured you? Or would you just let it go, saying, all is forgiven? The law is clearly here, on the side of the injured. But what if the injured said he would not injure the one that had injured him? Instead of injuring him as he had been injured, he was forgiven. This was called grace, or unmerited favor, right? This is exactly what has happened to us when we sin against the Lord. We are justly waiting on him to cause the recompense of our evil deeds to come upon our own heads. But Christ, instead of punishing us with everlasting punishment in the lake of fire, has freely forgiven us. He has took our sins upon himself. He died on the cross of Calvary, not because of his sins, rather because of our sins. Are we not guilty of his death on the cross of Calvary? I know he willingly and freely laid down his life for us. We must remember that he was not obligated to lay down his life for us. He died for us simply because he wanted to. When Christ was brought to trial and accused, he opened not his mouth. That is what the Bible says. He could have called 10,000 angels, and they would have defended him. They would have destroyed all of his accusers, but he didn't do that. Instead, Jesus suffered, Jesus bled, Jesus died, not because of what he had done. Rather, he died because of what we had done. Is this not exactly what we ought to do? Now, some believe that it is important to turn the other cheek. Then, when they are hit the second time, they turn loose and beat the other person to a pulp. Well, that is not what Jesus Christ is saying. This is not the example he gave to us when he suffered at the hands of wicked men. Christ submitted himself to death, not because he had no power to defend himself, because he could have called the 10,000 angels to defend him. But he died for us because he loved us and he was willing to give up everything for us. This is what Christ means when he says to turn the other cheek. Christ is not talking about strength, because he has plenty of strength to defend himself. Yet he did not use his strength, but Christ depended completely upon his heavenly Father. You see, God has something else on his mind, rather than defending his only Son. What was it he was thinking about? He was thinking about our salvation. This is exactly what he wants us to do. He wants us to have something else upon our mind instead of defending ourselves. He wants us to be a witness to those that persecute and use us. We must be totally and completely dependent upon him for our defense. Is God able to defend us? Well, sure. He is able. But he waits on us, not to see what we will do, for he already knows everything there is to know about everything there is to know anything about. He waits on us and is ready to defend us if it is his will to be defended. He wants us to learn to trust him, even in terrible situations, even in terrible, gross things. God wants us to learn to trust him. Christ wants unbelievers to fear God. Christ does not want unbelievers to fear us or our wrath. Our wrath is temporary, but God's wrath is eternal. It is much more important that people fear God, not us, not our temporary wrath. They need to be afraid of God's eternal wrath. Hell is real. And when people die lost, they will go into a burning, fiery hell for all eternity. That is very important to understand. In Matthew 5, verse number 40, the Bible states this: If any man will sue thee at law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. Now, we, as true believers in Christ, ought to be very willing to exchange carnal things for spiritual things. We, as true believers in Christ, ought to be able to tell the difference between things that are temporal and things that are eternal. Temporal things, like a coat and a cloak, are easily given up. God is well able to supply everything in this world that we need if we learn to trust him instead of trusting ourselves. We'll be much, much better off. Christ is saying that we should never try to hang on to temporal things like our pride. They will eventually bog us down to the point that we can't hang on to eternal things. What do we believe is the most important thing of all? Things like our coat or our cloak, these are temporal things. Or do we think the most important thing is eternal things? Do we strive to always be a good witness for the Lord? Sometimes God wants us to be a witness verbally, but sometimes God wants us to be what he wants us to be. Matthew 5, verse 41 through 42 states this: And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. What Christ is teaching here is simply another example of how we should be toward our enemies. For example, let's say that we, as a nation, are captured, and all of us that are currently citizens of this great country are brought into captivity. Now, this really happened to the Jews, right? The whole nation of the Jews was brought into captivity. The Jews are no different from us. Our enemy compels us to travel with them a mile. Actually, he wants us to do more than just travel with him for 1 mile. He wants us to carry all of his heavy luggage, which involves us carrying all of his weapons and all of his other armor. And the law requires us to travel with him for 1 mile. So, what do we do? Do we rebel at his command? Or do we do twice what he and the law actually requires? Well, if we follow the commands of God, we will do twice what the enemy commands us to do. We do not obey him because we are afraid of him, or we're afraid of the consequences that will follow. We use this extra traveling with him as an opportunity to find out more about him, to find out more about his family, to find out more about the struggles that he has as our enemy. During this time, we can also present the gospel unto him as we travel along with him, carrying that heavy load. You see, we can be a real good witness to him during this time. And this may be the only time that we can be a witness to him. Or we could use the extra traveling and carrying his luggage, and we could be full of cursing and bitterness as we carry this, but this will only convince him that he is above us. You see, Christ wants us to use every opportunity to witness of the good graces of Almighty God upon us. Now, some will say, well, that will never work. It will never happen that I can be a witness like that. These folks, however, have probably never read 2 Kings 5, verse 1 through verse 4. This place states, now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies, and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife, and she said to her mistress, would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. This little servant girl, whose name is never mentioned in the scripture, actually changed the course of history. Naaman, if you read in the book of 2 Kings 5, was healed of his leprosy. There's no doubt in my mind that some will say, even after this biblical story, that what Jesus taught would never work at all. But think of it just a minute. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, who knows everything, said that it would work.
You know, we pray that these messages on the Sermon on the Mount have been, and honestly will continue to be, a blessing to you. And if you have someone that you'd like to share this with, then I would encourage you to direct them to our website. That website address is www.independencebaptist.org. And, of course, from there, you can have them check out the audio section and listen to the entire series that's been preached so far. You can also use this website to email any questions or comments that you might have for Pastor Reynolds. And the website also provides the times of our services for those who are wanting to come and visit with us personally. And if you are able to come and worship with us, we can be found at 124 South Main Street in Forestdale, Missouri. And we would absolutely love to see you there with us. Well, our time has once again slipped away from us, but we are thankful you were able to attend this morning, and we pray that you'll be able to join us again next Sunday at 8 a.m. for another message from God's Holy Word.